All right, so here we are, worldwide live through BBS Radio online. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. I welcome all those who are here already online. It's still 2 minutes till the hour, and we have the phone line still open. This is a simulcast. You hear two people join in over here. I welcome those people, and if you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, Rick, Iowa City.
Hey, Rick, welcome to the call.
Yeah, good to see you.
All right, thanks for being here.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, how you say, everybody?
Good evening, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Rita from New York. Hello, everybody.
I'm sorry, who's that from New York?
Rita.
Rita, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Hello, Rita.
And then?
Hello.
Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Steve Mark from West Palm Beach.
Steve from West Palm Beach. Welcome to the call, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And somebody else came in at the same time. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Yeah, Mark Wales in Altadena, California.
Hello, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Diane in Minnesota.
Hi, Diane. Welcome to the call. Good evening to you.
Hi, you too.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right.
I wish Swim would get here on time.
Yeah, me too.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name.
That's it.
I welcome you. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Cleo in Connecticut. How are
Hi, Cleo. Good evening, and thank you for being here again.
Thank you.
All right.
Cleo, do you have a cat?
I used to. Yeah, she passed away.
She passed away? Maybe yeah. She's still in your fields.
Oh, right. Do you hear her?
No. Well, I'm not. Terry could tell you, probably, for sure. I don't see things like that. I was just feeling a cat, you know, but I don't trust that with me. I just put my foot in my mouth and say it, but I'm not sure. Yeah,
I have a cat here on my lap.
Who's that?
That's Marilyn.
Marilyn?
Oh, yeah.
I have my kitty cat.
Marilyn in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
Do you know, in Egypt, they used cats for people to channel so that it helped them be grounded.
I believe that.
That's why cats got such a big royal thing from Egypt. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Is Terry Brown here?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Echo.
Terry Friedman, do you remember cats in Egypt?
Let me mute the lines.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right. So here we are, still waiting for Terry Brown. We have, fortunately, Uncle Terry here with us. Dr. Friedman, Wynn, I've heard your voice. You're speaking up. That is fantastic. Thank you for being here. It is 6:02. And,
well, you know what? I'm going to run in the other room and remind Terry Brown, that we're doing this. Of course, she knows. I know she knows. But she likes to make a prima donna entrance. You know? So let me go let her know she's really needed. Hang on.
All right. So I did mute the lines. There was too much noise. And I welcome you all who have joined in on the phone line and also those who are here with us through BBS Radio online. Thank you so much for being here. And we have the question and answer call tonight. I see the announcement email. One of the questions is, Is it our job to nurture those who feel their own happiness needs to come from the love of others? Are we cold and selfish if we are not focused on making them happy? And another question is, how can I open up my crown chakra? So these are two of the questions for tonight's call. And let me see, Uncle Terry, how are you doing today?
Okay.
All right. I want to thank you so much for being here again.
Thank you. You're welcome.
All right. Hello, Terry Brown. I cannot hear you. I know your line is here, your phone line.
Oh, I said hi, Uncle Terry. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Hello, Terry. Thank you so much for being here again. I did mute the lines already, and we still have more people join in on the call. I welcome everybody. Thank you so much for being here. All right.
All right, I'm back.
Fantastic, and Terry and Terry are here.
You know what? We're probably the only show where the hosts are kind of getting ready when the show starts. Right? It's like, but you know what? We're probably also the only show where the star of the show always says, I leave, but I do not leave. We leave, but we do not leave, right? Now, how's that for how can I say it? What's the word, Jerry? How's that for what? Fill in the blank.
How's that? Well, I'm sure there's a word for it. Words are coming to me, but they're all wrong.
So they are. You're obviously not channeling, are you?
No.
All right. And we, for those that don't know, who missed our little intro, we have Terry Friedman on the line, also known as Dr. Friedman, also known as AKA Uncle Terry, and Uncle Terry, you want to say anything for all those people that just came in on the internet?
Do you want to start the recording, man?
Okay, I'll start the recording. Yeah. Hang on. Yeah. Hang on. Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
This is June 11th, 2014, Wynn and Terry in Sedona. Terry Friedman in Phoenix, and all of you everywhere, and our sources not on the planet. And as most of you know who are here, this is our Wednesday call where people submit questions. And let me just check a second here.
I think you said it wrong, Ben. You said not on this planet, but I'm positive they're here.
They don't start from the planet. They project into it.
They're bouncing along. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Steve Cannell in West Palm Beach asked Terry Friedman to speak louder and closer to the mic, because he's so much lower and distant than you guys. Steve, Terry, you know, is not that well and physically, and his voice is fairly quiet. So I don't think he can speak any louder.
Well, remember when I told you that last week, Monday, Susan brought me in.
But you know, Steve just sent that to me just now.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's talking about Monday. I think he's talking about right now. But you know what? You're sounding better, Terry.
Yeah.
We hear you really well. Probably just pay attention to put the phone microphone as close as you can to your mouth.
Yeah.
And if we hear a few breaths, we'll just put up with it, okay?
Okay.
And Terry, can you remember your life in Egypt as well as your life in...
Yes, of course.
You can?
Oh, yeah.
With the same memories?
What do you mean with the same memories?
Sometime we're going to have a talk about that, okay?
Clear memory, yes.
Yeah.
Very clear memory.
Yes. All right. And we keep getting great emails about Terry's book, The Man Who Walked with Jesus. And if anyone's listening that's not aware, Terry makes a pretty good case that he was around Jesus when Jesus was around and walking around with him, and was a scribe and was kind of keeping track of what was going on when Jesus did his traveling around with his disciples. And of course, the scribe he remembers being was Matthew, and his book is like an eyewitness account from, doesn't read like the Bible, it reads like a bunch of guys hanging out together.
That's right. With a
woman or two, trying to keep it all together, trying to keep the money together. And in the midst of it, this one of the guys, Jesus, was speaking a lot of wisdom and doing some miracles. And Matthew was one of the witnesses to that. And I think the thing that comes out most in Terry's book is the humanness of Jesus. You know, we don't think Jesus said he was human. He said he was a man. You know, religion and in creating, putting somebody on the pedestal of making them a messiah and the savior of the world makes it hard to think of him in his human side. And this book really, really portrays that. And it feels like you're right there. And you just might be, because Terry might have been. And, you know, if we keep this up and we keep it comfortable and feel safe, I'm just going to say, Terry thinks that Jesus is still talking to him. In fact, it was Jesus that encouraged him from the other side to write this book. Isn't that true, Terry?
That's true. And by the way, he said very clearly, I'm not a savior of the world. I'm a servant to the world.
Right. Okay.
Made that very clear. So a lot of religions have that wrong, according to Yeshua. He said, I'm not a saint, I'm a servant.
Yeah. So,
we were just a couple of beatniks over around the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're just...
Did you realize how special it was, what was happening then, when you were there?
I was dealing with everyday problems, just like it would be today. Do we have enough money to take us to that city? Are we going to be all right financially? We got all the important words down here. Just worried about the mundane things of life, you know.
You know, Matthew was an accountant. Or no, he was a tax collector. And so he was very much into keeping track of money. And Jesus apparently came up to him and pulled him away and said, come with me. Now, I got a question, Terry. This is not going to be interviewing Terry today, but we got him on the line and he's I can feel his energy more than usual, so it's a good time to ask him a few questions. And one of them was, what in the world made you leave your good job as a tax collector to run around with this vagabond spiritual guy? What went on inside you?
A recognition that this is a great, great individual could teach me a lot. Yeah, his aura just permeated into your soul, your heart, and you knew he had the truth. He was giving mm-hmm. the truth, and he was giving enlightenment to the world.
You could feel his energy and his love when he came.
No question about it. Very powerful.
Yeah. Now, was he around other people when he saw you, or was he just by himself?
No, he's around other people.
So he was walking around with a few people, a few other disciples or something.
Right.
And he came across, I'm calling you Matthew, because if I call you how you refer to yourself in the book, people aren't going to know what I mean. But when he came upon you, he was with a few people, and you could feel their ambience. They had a loving energy amongst them all, yes?
Yes.
And, okay.
It was a very powerful experience. Very powerful experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you give your boss notice, or did you just walk off and abandon the job?
I pretty much sent a message, I'm done. That was it.
That was it, right?
That was it.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, let's go on with our questions tonight. For some reason, we don't have a huge amount of questions. So if any of you want to throw a question out, hurry up, because this is a good day to do it. Usually we're overloaded, okay? And Terry, are you on the line?
Me?
Terry Brown.
Yeah, I'm here.
You know, Dharmananda asked the question, and this might be the second time he asked it. I thought I asked it, but tell me, do you remember that I asked, the light of the body is the eye, therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light, okay? Of course, that's Matthew, verse 22. Did we ask that already?
Well, you know what? I don't remember a lot.
You don't remember. You don't remember.
But
Terry Friedman, do you remember if we asked that last week or the week before?
I think the question was somewhat different last time. Not exactly this question, but it's similar. So this is a new way of putting it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he actually asked an additional question, right, about somebody else. And Dharmananda, you know, you put, let me just, before we go into the session, let me just say that it's very, I don't usually will ask questions about other people that validate them or non-validate them. Let me just go through this now. He says, I'm doing light body activation meditations to turn my body into light with Dr. Pillai at the PillaiCenter.com. This is what Jesus meant for us to do. And I certainly don't want to ask, validate or invalidate Dr. Pillai, okay? And one thing I do know is that lots of people use references to Jesus or DNA activation and charge people for activations. And and maybe they're valid, and maybe they're not. But, you know, Jesus didn't charge people for activations. Did you notice that? He went around and did it free. We don't charge people. Maybe you don't. Yeah.
I wasn't talking about Dr. Playa. I meant, is that what Jesus meant for us to do, is to turn our body into light so we can take it with us when we die?
Say that again? Is that Sarvananda?
Yeah. What I meant was, in that verse, is he wants us to turn our bodies into light so we can take it with us when we die, so we won't have to have a physical body here. We can just turn our bodies into light and it will go with us when we die.
What will go with us?
Our light body.
Our body
will turn to light.
Dharmananda, you've been a Christian, correct?
Yes.
And you have really...
Still am.
With Jesus, right? Or the teachings, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
And so if Dr. Terry, Dr. Friedman was Matthew, then that's really pretty special, right?
Yeah, very special.
Yeah. Okay, so now I've got tears. Come back to being centered, and we will in this part of this call bring up that question, and we'll all discuss it, and we'll have the Elohim Roberts discuss it, and we'll see. Okay,
okay.
You know, I want to share something before we bring everybody in. I want to share something that I am pretty sure is correct. And I've never heard other people say it. When you say the light of the body is the eye, and therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now, in the complexity of life, something that I have discovered for myself, this may not be true for other people, but in order to get the I to be single, I need a focus of intent that has motion to it. And the more that I do that, the more I connect with my own light body. And say, for example, we have taken on a project here that is so big that it pulls my whole life stream into the project. And it forces me to stay in a certain momentum. Let me say more and more. I won't say perfectly, but more and more. And I can see how the project and the commitment to the project pulls all of my systems into focus. So, because I have to be centered to do this. And the project makes me centered. It's not like I come from being centered into the project. The project pulls me into being centered, which then everything is going in the same direction. And that the more I do this, the more I feel my body filled with light. I'm trying to find the right words. And so, you know, when we try to identify things, try to understand them better, and we talk about things like the light body, which it's almost like we create a bigger level of illusion than the one we have now, because everything is one. The light body is part of everything else. We start to think that it's separate from us, and it looks separate because we can't see it, we can't feel it, although sometimes we can. We're learning on these calls to feel it. But it's not, it's part of our momentum. The more you get in the center of your momentum, the more you get into the commitment of your highest purpose, that purpose pulls you into the higher timelines that pull your whole system and your whole life into a higher trajectory. Just like coming into these calls three times a week, you know, many of you feel passive. You know, some of you are talking, but most of you are listening. But yet there's a momentum that moves through the calls, and that you're learning to feel that momentum. Some of you, if you recall, at one point you went to one call, and then you went back to your life, and then you came to a second call, went back to your life, then you came to a third call, went back to your life. Now the energy is powerful enough. This is my experience, and I think some of you may be having this, that the call, the energy of the calls are blending together, so suddenly your trajectory shifts. And when your trajectory shifts, you start moving with this momentum of the universe. You see, in the highest aspect, you're part of the universe, and the universe is connected to you, and you're moving the whole universe, and the whole universe is moving you, and your light body is just, you know, it's just a teaching mechanism to make you try to conceptualize what's going on. But it's just another distortion, ultimately, because it's all one. It's all one. There's the light body, you, the universe, the Elohim, the Ra group, and we're all moving in a big mass. But you have to feel the experience of that. And so that's time. If I be single, which means you have one purpose. You get up in life, you have a purpose, you have a movement. Everything is moving in the same direction. And if your purpose is the right purpose for you, then the energies of the higher realms all start to align themselves around your purpose that creates a momentum. And within the momentum, the whole body shall be full of light. If you look at Jesus as an example, he traveled, he went around, he had a purpose. The people around them were on the same momentum, the same trajectory, and they all had like a magic, to some extent, I think like a magic carpet ride, watching all these things happen around him. And does that make any sense? Dharmananda, are you there? Hello? Is anybody there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah,
let me just, yeah, we're going to go into it. But let me just have Terry Friedman comment on that, since that was a quote from Matthew, and he has memories of that. So he has anything to add to what I said or disagree or whatever. Terry?
Yes. Well, if you keep your eye focused, you keep your attention focused on what you want, you will find that little by little that happens. First in a small way, then a bigger and bigger. Eventually, all your cells are vibrating at a high. All the cells of your body are vibrating at a high level. And they all are emitting light, and you're full of light. You have light coming out from every corner of your body. So that's what happens. The other thing to do is to ask for what you want. Say, confirm, I wish to have a body of pure light emanating out from life. My body, my physical body. Be very specific. Just say, this is what I wish. And in the meantime, keep your thoughts and your energies focus on that and do affirmations. My body is a body of light, and I'm ready for my ascension. Or I'll be close enough to ascension, so most of it will occur right here on Earth, but a little ascension may have to occur after you've passed over to the fifth dimension. You'll have a little bit of process going on. But the process is that your body will end up being full of light. And that's what you want to happen. Affirm it very clearly. State what you want. And then think, well, I'm thankful. I have gratitude to Spirit because I am full of light. I am a light being. I am truly a light being. And my old CCC carbon body has transmuted into a crystalline body of light. But that's the way to look at that. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's go into our session. And we're going to call in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light, transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And
we greet
you. Yeah, go ahead.
We greet you in the low light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with each and every one of you. And we are delighted to have Uncle Terry on the line also. And we take a look at Wynn's comments and Uncle Terry's comments, and we see that these are very informative. And we also take a look further at the structure of the body, and we see that the more the body is kept in shape and is not allowed to have toxins building up in various places, the easier it is for the individual to focus, as toxins diffuse the energy, diffuse the light. And so when an individual is working with his physical body and finds that the body has toxins, it is a diffusing to the energies of his mind and the energy that he can work with in the body. When the body is more clear, then it can act as a crystalline focus for energy and for light and can begin to glow and to begin to pick up the sense of shining like a jewel. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next question is, this is from Merrill Woodard. And how much responsibility do we have for meeting our own needs
and those of others. If we have emotional needs, does that mean it makes it other people's job to fulfill them? Or are we here to master ourselves and meet our own needs? That's a great question, okay? And I'll turn it over to our sources.
Thank you, Merrill. And thank you for your contribution. They are really well-received and appreciated. And we take a moment and we take a look. And when an individual is able to communicate with others and is able to give and take and co-create, then working with each other, they fill each other's needs. For an individual has a need for companionship, and it is by having another there that can co-create with them that they can both help fulfill each other's needs. Now, taking a look at each individual, you'll see what are their individual needs. If somebody is very, very needy and trying to get another to fulfill all their needs and being very possessive, then that is not co-creation. That is like service to self, a sucking of energy, and that does not lend to the fulfilling of both people's needs. So one needs to, within them own, their own self, have a sense of self-worth where they can move out from their center. When they are centered and they know their own value, then they feel that they can give to another. They have something to give. So there are needs that one needs to cover within their own self. And there are needs that can only be fulfilled by the communication and presence with another. We hope that helps.
Thank you. Is it our job to nurture those who feel their own happiness? Is it our job to nurture those who feel their own happiness needs to come from the love of others? Are we cold and selfish if we are not focused on making them happy?
Not have the responsibility to fill all the emotional needs of another when it goes down to something that the individual, self to self, needs to fulfill within themselves. The sense of self-worth, the sense of self-love, another person cannot give that to one. They can shower you with all kinds of attention and energies, and it will, if one does not have a sense of self-worth, it will be like going into a dark hole, and one needs to keep doing it over and over. But the individual, unless they pick up on it, and unless they We have a concept with no words here, that they activate their light body in that area so they glow, so they have that sense of self-worth, and they don't keep relying on someone else to give it to them. So if they do, within their own self, activate their light body in that way, then they can truly give and take with another. And it is not then like feeding energy into a dark hole that needs more and more because there is something deficient within the person who is very, very needy and keeps utilizing all that energy, but it's like the energy is from another is trying to sustain them, but it can't. They need to be sustained within their own sense of self-worth in their own mind body.
Thank you. Next question. This is from Melissa in San Diego, and she's been listening to our show for many years. She owns three pendants, which have been helpful. Getting little commercials in here. I call into the show from San Diego. Will you please place my cat, Digit, into the circle of love light and ask for the energy and of protection and guidance for her safe journey home? I think she means that the cat has passed. I think so, but I'm not sure.
Thank you. Can you spell the cat's name?
D-I-G-I-T.
Thank you. Thank you. We are connecting. The cat has, to some degree, passed out here and is uncertain of what to do and is in that state, halfway unconscious. And sending love light to the cat and sending light to the cat as we are doing now can help to revive the spirit. We see the cat is semi-conscious in its own state. And we again send the light to the cat. And we send the cat, play for the cat, some of its better memories of playing that the cat may play those memories to itself and can become encouraged again and enlivened in its spirit. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question. This is from, let's see, J-O-S-U-E, Josue, Jose, I'm sorry. Better use the spelling, J-O-S-U-E in California. What is the difference between guides and angels?
Guides, if we understand.
Guides
and angels?
Yes.
An angel can be a guide. A guide has more information than some of the angels. Some of the angels are there to give unconditional love and help. Others have special training as guides and have more experience than other angels. We might call them angels in training. A guide is sent for a particular purpose in helping the person through a situation through a life dilemma, through a life path, an angel may come as a guide to guide one back to heaven, to help one through a difficult situation. An angel in training may come to give unconditional love and be there for a person. Both a guide and an angel can be there during the individual's whole life or part of their life, or come for a specific time, for a specific situation the person is going through, to give them help.
Thank you. Mark Wales in Pasadena. A few months ago, you asked a question for me. I felt like they had a message for me, and I wanted to hear it. And the exact answer was, we bring you a message as we are speaking directly to you now. If you pay attention to the area around your crown chakra, as if it is a crown, and feel tingling, real pressure in that area, like a crown around your head, is one of the first places that we are able to connect through the crown chakra, and simply to hold you close with love without an agenda of our own, but giving love to you as you would wish to be loved. At that time, this is Mark speaking now, at that time I had been reading the material for a few weeks. Now when I first heard those words from them, I felt tingling through my whole body and was brought to tears. And I felt that tingling for many hours afterwards, and even the next day could feel the tingling in my hands. Since that day, I have listened to it several more times. I still get tingling that was anchored to me in your work and has driven me to learn more about it. I have yet to be able to connect with them through my crown chakra. It seems to me he was connected. What can I do to solve this? Are there things blocking me from this? And if so, what are they? He also said that I was one of the first places that they can communicate. What are some of the other places they can communicate? Thank you.
Thank you. If you take first things first, you also need to learn to tune. We are at a very high frequency, and we reside at that frequency, and we give and impart information at the frequency. Your frequency with which you are attempting to connect to us is lower than that frequency. We suggest that you keep reading the materials and don't try too hard, because it is not trying that will tune you into it. It's like the tuning of a radio where you hit that spot where the program is, where the station is, and then you begin to hear it. If you are tuning outside of that, you do not hear it. So it is a matter of tuning. And we, right now, are sending you energy. And it is a very high frequency. One of the reasons that we brought Ra into the calls with us is to increase the frequency range, which we make available to people so more people can tune in. There's a broader band that people can tune into. And we love you, and we sense you, and we are around you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lynn, are you muted?
Oh, I asked a question. Can you hear me?
No.
You can't hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
Did you hear our answer?
Yes, I did. I asked a question. I said, is it unusual for the Ra group and the Elohim group to be working together as they are, as you, they said they are in our group? Or is that something which has happened often in history?
It is unusual for us to be working together. And it was yours and Terry's questions that put us together, as it forced us to talk between ourselves to enlighten each other in areas that we felt could be enlightened in the one and the other.
Thank you. Is the, so the reason is because of the questions we asked, and because between the two of us, we both and individually have learned to tune into the frequencies of both soul groups?
It is because of the questions that you were asking back in La Cañada, and the questions were, had misconceptions. What was coming through from the Ra group indicated misconceptions of the Elohim group, and the Elohim group were indicating they needed a better connection with the Ra group to be able to dispel some of the misconceptions, and also to help enlighten certain parts of the Ra group wherein they were not totally aware of all of the aspects that they were experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, so Mark Wales. I think Mark is in, I think he's in Glendora. I've heard that we need to have our hearts open, 50%, to graduate this realm. I've also read that our understanding of love is very limited. Can our sources comment on what we need to do from a practical perspective? Love can mean a lot of different things and is often confused with things that are not love, like staying in an abusive situation. And I'm just going to make the comment, Mark, that I have watched this happen over and over again for people, that the people that keep coming to our calls, there's something that rubs off and they get it. You can't do this by logic and willpower. You can't talk yourself into having an open heart. An open heart takes a shift in your life. It takes a shift in your perspective. In fact, you're just asking, is you're opening yourself up to how to have that shift. But it's something that is so non-linear, and that your mind thinks it can understand it, but it can't. What you can do, from my idea, I'm going to let Terry Freeman answer this one too, but let our sources answer. All you can do is observe yourself, watch what comes out of your mouth, be kind to people, try to find that place of joy inside you, and share it. If you have a hard time finding that, which sometimes people do, just be kind and observe. And if you keep doing that, eventually the answers of what you're supposed to do will pop up. You'll get it. and keep coming to our calls. I had a beautiful email from Dean in Oklahoma. Just told me he listened to a lot of calls. He said we have listened to every call that we've put up since 2009, and he's graduated, and he has to come up with a degree. And it's an actual truth. It's probably there's truth to what he's saying, because we have covered so much material in our archives, and there's wisdom, there is cellular resonance, and there's energy from the higher realms. And you keep giving yourself a diet of that over and over again. And I can only say this because I've observed it. Something starts to shift, and you start to understand on an intuitive level what your logical brain cannot understand. Three of our sources address that question. Thank you.
Who are you addressing this to?
I'm addressing that to Terry Brown, Ron.
Thank you. When an individual heart is open more than 50%, then they can give and take. And they're not fixed, but they are open to another. One can be in service to another, do things for another, and this can help open their heart. When they are open more than 50% in their heart, then they can accept change. They can move into a higher state of ability to reflect light, to project light, to be focused in light. When they are less, they may use that extra energy to be fixed and focused into the third density, into the physical realm, into the things that are going on. They may be more rigid. And it is hard to accept the change that is needed for one to be able to move into ascension, to be willing and able to accept the extra light that is going to carry them to the higher realms.
Is that the end of the question? The answer.
There is a brilliant talk on one of the Sundays in December of 2013 on that subject and why one needs to be 51% or more with their heart open to be able to move to the higher realms, and also why, if someone is totally negative, like 95% negative, in other words, they're committed totally with taking energy from others and making it part of their own, that they also may be able to move into the higher realms. However, their journey is not viable and does not sustain them to even further levels up.
Thank you. We have maybe 90 seconds to 2 minutes if we're lucky. Although Heise is probably going to tell me we can go a little longer. Terry Friedman, you want to answer? You want to try that question to answer? We can come to you. It's different than what we said.
Well, I would take the experience I had with Yeshua. His heart was open most of the time, eventually. But at first, he began with his heartbeat open periodically during the day, maybe 5, 6, 7 times, 20 times, 30 times during the day. And then eventually, as he evolved, this opening became more and more frequent until it was, and most of the day he was open. So it happened in stages, according to him. In other words, first you have it periodically, then you get it more and more, and eventually you'll pass it that you want to present, and all clear after that. It moves a lot faster after that. But that's the way I look at it, because that's his teachings.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Terry.
Yeah.
We need to close.
We got to go. We got to end the session. Thank you, BBS, for letting us stretch a little bit. And thank you, Terry Friedman, Uncle Terry, Dr. Friedman, and Terry Brown, and Hives, and people doing transcriptions. And we will see you all, those of you that show up on Sunday at our grid healing, and it's the highest energy call we hold. It's the one that generates the most transformations and miracles. So Monday at 10 a.m. we'll see you then, and we'll say good, open the lines and let everyone say good night.
All callers are unmuted.
Bless you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night. Love you all. Be well.
Thank you.
Sunshine to you all. Happy Sunday.
Namaste.
Te amo. Te amo mucho.
Much love.
Your conference recording has stopped.